Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, just when we thought we were making progress, stage 6 load shedding came back, and indefinitely, it said at one point. Businesses are struggling, households are under strain, and the big question remains, how did we get here again? As I speak, we are currently down to stage 4. What, though, is the way forward as far as all of this is concerned? I'm in conversation now with energy analyst, commentator and writer Khusi Moleshe. Khusi, a very warm welcome to you. So Eskom jumping from stage 3 to 6, then back to 4 within hours. What is your thinking around this? It surely is suggesting some deeper instability in the grid.
Thank you to you and to the listeners, Jeremy. It suggests that we should know that Eskom doesn't have sufficient capacity, reserve capacity, to be able to deal with challenges that they face in the system. This is aggravated by the fact that typically in summer, you have a significant amount of generation capacity that's out for planned maintenance. So if anything goes wrong in the system, it means that your reaction could be just to load shed or reduce demand because supply is constrained. Instead of, if you had other countries, in other countries, for instance, they would just use backup capacity to deal with the problem. So we don't have enough.
Now, the minister also said that stage 6 was a result of Eskom's, and I quote, aggressive maintenance program. Aggressive was the word he used. I guess we've got to ask ourselves the question, is this a sign of progress, or again, does it expose flaws in how maintenance is being handled, notwithstanding your argument about backup power?
There are some flaws, but I think it's encouraging at the same time to note that the challenges were not related to the major equipment like your turbines, your generators. The challenges were related to transformers, which are really auxiliary equipment. And yes, the impact is huge. Yes, it has a significant impact on consumers, but it is a bit encouraging. And it has actually taught Eskom a significant lesson to also pay attention to auxiliary plants. Plants that provide support like water, cooling, those kind of things, or electrical infrastructure. So they have to pay attention to that as well as they do maintenance. Aggressive maintenance is a good thing in the sense that they've been given finance by National Treasury to be able to turn around the situation. It's just that now it's a balancing act to be able to manage all of these things.
It worries me when you say that Eskom needs lessons in transformers, in secondary or in backup power. Surely that should be part of the bigger plan anyway.
I think that to pay more attention to everything rather than to focus on the bigger equipment. I think that that's where the lesson is, and I agree with you, that shouldn't be a lesson, but it is a lesson, I guess, now that it has occurred.
Do you think that Eskom is running too fast at its maintenance strategy?
I think they are being aggressive because they understand that winter is upon us, and for us to try and avoid load shedding, we need to do this reliability maintenance. These machines are relatively old. You can't escape the fact that you need to significant reliability maintenance to be able to at least guarantee that going forward, you will be able to run them properly, and you can reduce your use of diesel and therefore try to be a sustainable entity.
If the current trajectory continues, such as we've witnessed already this past weekend, it looks like we might be in for a tough winter.
Hopefully, all of the aggressive and disciplined maintenance that they've been doing, I mean, they've been doing significant maintenance relative to any period in the past. Hopefully, that pays off. It did pay off last winter, so let's hope that they continue in that path.
But we do have an issue with unpredictability as far as the grid is concerned. Again, we should be preparing surely for more blackouts like this. The promises that government's been made about a load shedding free future are still some way off, surely.
No, we cannot. We don't have guarantees, honestly. The risk is always there. It's just that now the Eskom is making efforts to mitigate that risk. I think it's encouraging that also there's new capacity that still has to come back, like your Kubek is out, Medupi, Unit 4, Unit 2, quite a significant amount of capacity still has to come in. I'm sure that will come in handy. And obviously the maintenance will be stopped around, I think, end of March. They will stop doing maintenance so that winter is sufficient availability to mitigate that risk. But the risk is always present.
There was political argument this weekend saying that we need to accelerate private sector involvement in energy generation. Again, it doesn't seem that we're moving swiftly enough in that respect when it comes to policy.
Well, they're trying everything they can. I think that our problem is not policy. Our problem will be a significant challenge with respect to spending on infrastructure, transmission infrastructure, because when you develop generation capacity, you have to transmit it to where the consumers are. And that is still a problem. We're still doing pilot studies on what that model will look like, what the credit enhancement of that model will look like. And so we're still also a long way off with that, with regards to that.
And what do you think the biggest barrier is right now preventing us from scaling up renewable energy to a point where it reduces our dependence on Eskom?
Well, our challenge is the transmission infrastructure. And also the challenge is that if we're going to eventually get rid of some of the fossil fuel plants, we need stable capacity or flexible capacity. So that renewable energy has to be accompanied by significant flexible capacity. Could be gas, it could be anything else that can come on stream. So we still have a lot of work to do in South Africa. But hopefully we can stabilize where we are right now.
Khosi Moleshi, we had a 10-month break from blackouts, and South Africans really thought this was finally at an end. Are you able to put your finger on what worked during that period? Understand that there were maintenance issues this past weekend, but something was going right over the past 10 months that seemed to trip things up this time around.
Well, I think, to be honest with you, I think we're still in the right direction because we're making sure that we're doing proper maintenance. We have relatively more availability in terms of the system. We have reduced significantly using our diesel, which was costing Eskom quite a bit. And Eskom obviously is focusing profit. So we are on the right track. And in terms of the major equipment, we haven't seen significant outages like we used to see in the past. I think that we've had this hiccup and it's been painful, but I think Eskom will learn from this. It shouldn't have been a major issue, but in these complex machineries, a small thing can spiral into a big issue. I think we should, yeah.
Okay, just a quick one in conclusion then. We're having this conversation this evening with the minister claiming that uninterrupted power will be restored by the end of this week. Is that a realistic timeline?
Yes, it's a realistic timeline given what they've already brought back on stream. Significant capacities already back on stream. What they need to do is to replenish on the peaking or emergency power to make sure that is sufficient. And then I think we should be back on track.
Thank you very much for talking to me tonight. That is Khosi Moleshi, an energy commentator and analyst. Appreciate your time.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.